Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Qadira Aisha Muhammad on Religion Means Alive. Today's date is December 21st, 2015. tonight's topic, fear is none. It's unformatted, speak your mind. What I'm trying to do is, you know, mix it up a little bit instead of having, you know, shows formatted with a specific topic and, you know, having everything structured. I wanted to, you know, try to address a couple of topics that are, you know, within the news currently. So, you know, we've had a lot of things in the news here lately. One in particular that comes to mind is, you know, the whole terrorism type thing. But first and foremost, I want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me another day of life. Being able to, you know, see this day and, you know, spend it in worship by praying, because that's something that we should be doing 5 times a day. And just being able to, you know, go about my day and handle my affairs with ease, without, you know, the aid or assistance of anything or anyone. That's something, you know, we should be eternally grateful for, because some people can't do that. And, you know, I try to make that as one of my doers each day, that, you know, I thank Allah that I don't have to beg, borrow, or steal from anyone to survive in this world. You know, Allah blessed me with provisions where I'm able to provide for myself and for my family. So alhamdulillah for that. So, you know, a couple of topics that I'm going to address tonight, and, you know, callers, feel free to call in and voice your opinion. If you have something that you want to talk about, feel free to call in. The number to do there is 805-727-7013, and you can press 1 to speak, and I will put you through. So, you know, let's, you know, just address a couple of different topics tonight. First, I'm going to speak on, you know, the whole terrorism thing. And as I stated before in previous shows and, you know, just on social network, you know, Islam does not condone terrorism in the manner that it is being carried out. It's not something that Muslims do, and it's not in the Quran to treat another human being in this way. People fail to realize that there are ways that even in war, in the state of war in Islam, we have to treat the hostages. We cannot torture these people. We cannot rape them. We cannot do these things to them. We have to treat them with the same respect as we would treat anyone else, and even our family, you know. But see, they don't tell you all this on the news, and, you know, they want you to continue in fear and, you know, fear Muslims and think that, oh, we're spreading Sharia and we're going to take over the world and it's world domination for Islam. Like, you know, I get so tired of that. And these people who feel this way about Islam, they just want to have a reason to hate something. You know, not too long ago, it was African Americans. You hated all blacks, you know. You don't want them here. You want to kill them. You want to lynch them. You want to do all these things to them. And, you know, African Americans didn't ask to be brought here. We were forced here, but then you're complaining that we're here because something that your ancestors done, that you're pissed off that we're here. You want to call us lazy and things like, you know, it's just, it's, they want to have, people want to have a reason to hate people. And that's just the way it is. And, you know, I said this on a call where, you know, I was talking about terrorism and things like that. You know, we all know Islam is the fall guy. It's the scapegoat. You know, as I said on my other call, if the Middle East was inhabited by Buddhists or Hindus that had the greatest amount of oil, had that, you know, secure lockdown in their country, the face of terrorism would be Buddhists or Hindus. We know that. It's not about, you know, Muslims trying to dominate the world. This is not the case. And, you know, for any sound person that has, you know, the minimal amount of brain capacity, you can research it on your own. And a lot of people do this. Even after 9/11, Islam is still the religion with the greatest amount of reverts. And the reason why we say reverts, because we believe that everyone is born Muslim, and you convert to another religion due to your upbringing or, you know, of your own choice. But we believe that everyone is born Muslim. So when we say revert, we don't say convert because you're already Muslim, born Muslim. So we say revert. So you're reverting back to what your original state was, that you were, you know, born Muslim, and you reverted back to that. So Islam is the greatest religion that has the most people. I'm talking about not just, you know, Arabs, because we know majority of Arabs are born Muslim. We're not talking about, like, you know, Pakistanis, Indians, and things like that, because a lot of them are born Muslim. We're talking about a large number of African Americans, which is the largest population of reverts to Islam, is African Americans, and also Caucasians. We have a lot of Latinos. We have, you know, a lot of Asians. You know, you can say what you want to say. You can try to downgrade and belittle Islam, but anybody with an ounce of brain capacity can read and follow up for themselves. You know, I had did a comparison not too long ago in regards to, you know, why do people think that, you know, Islam is a religion of violence, and that, you know, if people always on these websites that I go to, or when I'm searching and, you know, reading up on literature, they always want to, you know, quote from the Quran, certain passages and things like that. So me, being the person that I am, I said, okay, let me try something. You know, I want to see, in comparison with the Bible and what, you know, Christianity has in common, like the amount of words that come from the Quran or and the Bible, and compare that, use that as a guide to see, you know, what is being stated. And also there was a parody that they did on someplace, I think it was in Belgium or Brussels or something like that. They actually took the cover of a Quran and put it over the Bible, and then they started showing people the passages out of the Bible where, you know, it was saying, you know, kill the people, you know, do all these things. And then, you know, the interviewers actually think about, you know, this book. What is it saying? Do you think it's wrong? Do you think it's, you know, something should be done about it? And people were adamant. They were like, oh, they shouldn't be teaching this. This is crazy. You know, this is insane. This is why these people are this way. You know, they're teaching hate. And then they revealed to them, hey, this is the Bible. This isn't even the Quran. And people were shocked. They were, like, taken aback. And one thing that, you know, I noticed in comparison, because I was, you know, born and raised Christian, compared to Islam, we have to research. We cannot just take someone's word for a certain thing. Like, if you say something in the Quran, I need to know where ayat and what surah, where it comes from. If you're quoting hadith, I need to know where I can go find it in Tirmidhi, Sohi Abakari, Daoud. You know, I need to know where it comes from so I can go look that up for myself. Christians don't do this. Christians don't have a hafiz or a hafifa. They do, but, I mean, how can you really translate it when the Bible has been translated thousands of times? No one could tell you from front to cover the Bible because you have so many various translations, but we have, you know, hafiz in Islam. So you could read from front to back the Quran, and you could tell me what it says. Christianity doesn't do that. They tell you to believe by faith. It's more of believe by faith than action. We know as Muslims, we have to perform, you know, actions in order for us to receive the benefit of obtaining paradise. And what does that consist of? That consists of prayer, giving charity, you know, making hajj, you know, doing the pillars of Islam. That's something that we have to work towards. We're not just giving it because, you know, as Christians believe, they believe that Isa, alayhi salam, you know, died for their sins, which we know, astaghfirullah, is not true. You can't get to Jannah except by your good deeds and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's just a known fact. So in my research, I looked up a couple of things, and these are keywords. Keywords: burn, fire, hell, punish, torture. In the Quran, you find that 621 times. In the Bible, you find that 1,261 times. The word fear, terror, horrify, or terrify. In the Quran, you find it 183 times. In the Bible, you find it 1,156 times. In the Quran, anger, despise, detest, hate, contempt, scorn, slave, and wrath, you find those words, those keywords, 74 times. In the Bible, you find it 2,120 times. Keywords: attack, battle, fight, force, war, invade, oppress, raid, or violence. In the Quran, you find that 85 times. In the Bible, you find it 3,445 times. Keywords: destroy, kill, murder, slay, 185 times in the Quran. In the Bible, 1,025. Total of hard words was 1,148 times in the Quran. In the Bible, 10,007. Total of keywords. Listen to these keywords: forgive, hope, mercy, reward. In the Quran, you find it 1,843 times. In the Bible, you find it 696. And this is something simple. Anybody could do this. Anybody could key that in and do a comparison. That's something, that's not something hard that, you know, is easy to obtain or to find. It's very easy to do that. Without, you know, to look that up, it's easy. But people want to have a reason to hate. And, you know, I was watching the nightly news, and Donald Trump is stating that he wants an apology from Hillary Clinton for stating that he's being used as the poster child to recruit people for terrorism, and he's adamant that she deserves, that he deserves, you know, this apology from her. I'm glad she's not giving it to him because he's a bold-faced liar. He's been known to prove, I mean, people have proved him as a liar, and he continues to lie, and nobody has asked him to apologize. Matter of fact, they did ask him, you know, it's no way that you've seen thousands of Muslims celebrating the fall of, you know, the towers in New York. It's no way that you've seen this. And he's adamant that he did, that he's seen this. Chris Christie proved him that he's a liar. You know, he's just been proved as a liar, but it's okay for him. And that's something that, you know, I have a whole problem with on a whole, regarding this whole terrorism thing, because this is something that's scary. It's something that's scary. It's you know, it's one thing when somebody proves to you that you're in error and you can accept that and you can move on. But when one of the TV shows, like one of the news stations I was watching, they went to supporters of Trump and they asked them, well, he's been known to lie and we don't think that this is true. Do you still support him? And the people were adamant, like, we still support him no matter what happens. We don't care about that. That's very dangerous. That's very dangerous. And anybody who witnessed that should be scared. Very dangerous. Because you know what that lets me know is that you want to hate. You want to hate something, and you want to have a reason to hate. And your hatred for something like this is so strong, you don't care what the facts are. That's dangerous. That's very dangerous. That's very dangerous. To have that kind of mentality towards people. And I understand what Hillary Clinton is saying about this situation with the terrorism is because you're not just inciting, you know, people who, you know, don't like America and so forth and so on. And again, like I said, there are people, and I believe there's groups out there and there's people out there who are using, who are hijacking Islam and using it for their own purpose and, you know, spreading propaganda and hate and things like that. Absolutely, absolutely there is. I never said it was no terrorism, this is all made up. No, not all of it, but there is. And but do I believe it's on a grand scale that they say it is? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The facts show, like, you know, they want to say that Palestinians are terrorists and they want to fight the Israelis. But when I see somebody with rocket launchers and tanks shooting and killing people with rocks, people, kids who are throwing rocks, that's no comparison right there. And, you know, that's plain to see. You don't see these people with rocket launchers, missiles, and tanks. You don't see that. I mean, and they make it clear. They're throwing rocks at you, but you're taking a tanker and you're killing these people and these kids and so forth and so on. So, you know, do I think it's at the level that, you know, the governments of the world want you to believe it's at? Absolutely not. Do I believe that there are more on the lines of gangs, like, you know, the Bloods, the Crips, the Latin Kings and things like that? Absolutely. I think it's on that level. I don't think it's on this grand scale where they have this formal organization and they have all these. I do not, absolutely do not believe it. Now, that's what I don't believe. But back to the whole premise of somebody showing you proof that this couldn't have happened, or this person is a liar. Here's the proof for it. And for you to dismiss that, that is something to fear. That is something to really worry about. Because not only does it incite these people who are radicals to, you know, hate America more, absolutely, this is what it does. It also gives people who are here to then inflict terror on innocent Muslims and they not be held accountable for it because the actions of a few. We in America do not hold the KKK liable for every act and blame Christianity on it. We don't do that. But they have taken Islam on a whole because they say all Muslims. Not one or two, like, you know, these things that I read on these news stations where they have the comment field. This is something I pay attention to. I don't pay so much attention to, you know, what the actual post said. I go and read the comments of the people because that lets me know that these are people within my neighborhood. These are people that I could work with because this is local news. This isn't something that's national. I mean, I look at that too, and it's basically the same thing. But You have all these people hiding behind a screen and a keyboard, masking themselves as what they truly are and how they truly feel. These are your neighbors. These are people that you work with. And, you know, I may have never done anything to you. I may have never said anything other than something that was, you know, concerning and caring for you, but you hate my religion and you don't even know what it means, and you don't care. You don't want to know what it means. You don't want to know. You just want to have hatred in your heart for something, and that's something that's dangerous. That's something that's very dangerous. You know, like I had posted a couple of weeks ago, it's this lady who would get off the bus every day. Every day, and she still does it every day. She would get off the bus, and she would, you know, scream, "Yes, Jesus loves me," and things like that. You know, I would just ignore her. You know, she's ignorant. I'm just going to ignore her or whatever like that. And I know that she's speaking directly to me because I'm the only Muslim there, and she would look me directly in my eyes and say it. Like, she wanted to get my attention. So I decided, I said, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to present her with some literature on, you know, Islam, you know, because for people like that, sometimes you don't say anything to them. You just present something to them to let them, you know, read on their own accord. Well, that failed. She cussed me out, called me all kinds of bees, and, you know, she would, you know, inflict harm on me, things like that. So I said, okay, I'm not going to miss my bus going home. So, you know, this is what she does. So it's like a bus stop. So it has, like, you know, the little depot where you can, you know, wait for the bus, a little shelter. So what I decided to do is when I see her coming off the bus, I just walk to the other end of the shelter so she can't see me. You know, because it was inflicting rage in me that this lady is so ignorant, and I'm trying to educate her on a religion, and she just wants to remain ignorant. It was really upsetting me. Like, I wanted to say something to her, but I'm like, you know, I'm not going to say anything to this lady because she's disrespectful, and this is what she wants to do. She wants to continue to be disrespectful regardless of what I say or how I feel and, you know, things that I try to, you know, inform her of about the religion. So, you know, me being me, I walked to the end of the shelter so she couldn't see me when she gets off the bus. Because I'm like, if she can't see me, she can't say it. I watched her. She would get off the bus, and she would look for me. She would look like this. This is what was so insane. This lady would actually look for me because she wanted to continue to spew her hate, and I have never done anything to this lady, ever. I don't even know her. I just know she gets off the bus, and then, like, two buses after that, my bus comes for me to go home. Never said anything to her, never, you know, accidentally bumped her, anything. This is what I'm talking about, dangerous hate. Because when you have people like this that just want to inflict harm, whether it's physical or mentally, dangerous. And this is what, you know, people like Donald Trump are doing. And I agree with Hillary Clinton on this 100%. This is what they're doing. They're breeding people to want to hate for no reason. You got people, I've been seeing, you know, different articles on the news where you got people in the hospitals who refuse to be attended to by anyone who is Muslim. They rather die than to receive help from a doctor on call that is a, you know, Muslim nurse or a Muslim doctor. This is insane. This is insane that you would have that much hate in your heart that you would want to die because you don't want a Muslim touching you. This is crazy. But this is what they're breeding. And again, this has no reflection on Islam because, like I said, if the Middle East was occupied by Hindus, Buddhists, or Christianity on a whole, best believe the evil people who run these governments would attack them. The war would be on Buddhists. The war would be on Hindus. It just happened to be Muslims because we occupied those areas with the majority of the oil that they're trying to get. It's no more dollars and cents. It's about oil, barrels of oil, because this is where the money is. So, you know, that's, you know, one topic that, you know, I wanted to address. And, you know, I'll continue to have these shows where I just keep an open forum, like we could talk about different things. If anybody's want to call, you want to speak, you have something you want to get off your chest, feel free to call in at 805-727-7013, and I'll put you through. The next topic that, you know, I wanted to talk about and address is plus-size women. It was a post that I put up earlier about this guy had made a post, or I believe it was on Twitter, and let me get the exact words because I don't want to misquote him. I don't want to misquote him. I want to make sure that I say this correctly. Because it was done, I believe, in ignorance. And, you know, sometimes people just, some people just sometimes just say what they want to say out their mouth because they can. And they want to get a rise out of people just to see how you think. So this guy, Alfonso Corsier, said, "It's about time we debunk the myth that black men like fat women. It's time to stop allowing morbidly obese women to claim asylum in the thick category. The truth is black men do not like fat women. Broke men like fat women." You know, when I put that up, a lot of, you know, African-American men came to the defense stating that they do like plus-size women. And some didn't, some all didn't agree with it. And so, you know, I wanted to understand, what was your definition of BBW, as we call it, big, beautiful woman? What is the category? Like, where do you stop stating that a woman is, okay, thick to now she's just obese? Like, what is the category? And from some of the responses that I got, that could vary depending on the person. Because one guy may, like, say, hey, okay, this size woman is just thick to me, but this woman is, you know, what I would consider obese. And it varies. It varies. So it varies on a person. And I've spoken about this before as far as me. I'm plus size. Have no problem with it. I have lost weight. I have gotten down to 139. I'm 240. You know, a lot of people said, oh, you don't look your weight, this and that. I'm like, you know, it's whatever. Like, if I want to lose weight, I can. I don't have high blood pressure. I don't have high cholesterol. So, you know, my doctor just said that I do need to just exercise more, but it's not adversely affecting my health as far as, you know, those two things. And those are some things that if you are plus size, those can have a very high detriment to your health if you are, you know, plus size or overweight. So those things aren't affecting my health. So, you know, she just like, you know, you need to lose weight, but it's not affecting your health, which is okay. Would I be a size, even when I was 139, I still was a size 8, American size 8. Like right now I'm a size 14 to 16. But see, it depends, like what I mean by, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you don't look your weight. It's because I'm 5'6", but I carry my weight all over. So you're not just going to see it in my hips, or you're not going to see it in my stomach or my arms, my chest. You know, it's all going to be evenly distributed, which I'm thankful for. You know, some people, you know, have that disproportion, and I don't have that problem, so I'm thankful for that. But you know, growing up, I never, I don't know whether it was just my preference then or whatever, but African-American men never were attracted to me because I was plus size. Now, you would get a lot of island men from, like, Jamaica, Trinidad, Haiti. You know, they like plus-size women. Also, African men, they like plus-size women. A brother had sent me a link, watch on YouTube, and it was about this country in Africa where they would, like, force-feed their women because obesity was a sign of, like, beauty for them. And the bigger you are, it was like the more prestige, the more you were like in the elite. And, you know, like I told him, okay, I understand that, you know, in some countries, being bigger is a sign of beauty. And some people really like that. Like if you're like skinny or thin, a lot of men in a lot of countries, depending on the country, don't find that appealing. But I noticed that African-American men, they tend to shy away from plus-size women. I mean, I could be wrong. If you want to call and you feel like I'm wrong, press 1 and I'll put you through. You know, I want to get you guys' opinion on, you know, these things, the things that I'm, you know, talking about here on the show. So, you know, I don't let that bother me. You know, it is what it is. If I want to lose weight, I can. It's not an issue for me. Like, you know, I have some kind of problem where I'm, you know, physically not capable of losing weight. I can if I want to. I just don't feel like it right now. I just don't feel like it. I really don't. Like, I just don't have the energy right now to put into that because it's a whole, like, you have to completely change everything about yourself when you're trying to lose weight, and you have to have clean eating. So that's like no fried foods, lean meats. You got to stay away from the carbs. You have to refrain from the juices and things with sugar in it. So, you know, it's a whole process that you have to put your body through and also your mind because you have to be mentally ready to do this. I see somebody has a comment. I'll put you through. Good evening. Thank you for joining Religion Means Alive. This is Sister Claudira. How can I help you?
Assalamu alaikum, sister. I think as far as size is concerned, I think if you're in your teens, you can still consider yourself thick. But if you're in your 20s, I think that's a little past.
I'm just laughing. Go ahead.
No disrespect to nobody, you know. But that's just my personal opinion. That's it. Assalamu alaikum to all.
Wa alaikum salam. I'm going to get him later because I already know who that was by the voice. but, you know, it's a whole mental thing that you have to do and gear yourself up to and wanting to stick with that. You know, they have all these herbal supplements and these teas and the wraps and things like that. This is what I tell people. And, you know, a lot of people want to use these supplements to aid them. They will work for a period of time, but once your body gets used to it or adjusted to that regimen, they're going to stop working. So the best way to, if you're looking to really go on a diet or a lifestyle change as far as eating, I would suggest cut out, you know, the carbs. You need to at least have, out the 7 day, you need to have 1 cheat day so you can just eat what you want to eat and then go back to your schedule because that's important. You constantly stick into a regimen where you're never going to eat chocolate cake anymore. Your diet is not going to last that long. I'm just telling you from somebody who has dieted back and forth over their life. It has to be like you have to be mentally ready to really want to lose weight. You got to prepare yourself as far as you got to have, got to exercise, things like that. As far as cardio, people will be like, oh, cardio. But people don't understand, if you ever, like, really did the research on exercising and losing weight and things like that, your body comes to a plateau. So my plateau was like that 140, 145. I could not get past that. No matter what I did, I could not get past it. Your body reaches a plateau where it says no more. You're, like, at this level, and it's really hard to get drop below that. It's like your body shuts down and says, I am not letting you lose no more weight. It's going to be this. Because people don't realize, like, after a while, your body is burning the storage fat. The stored fat that your body would use if you were ever starving. And people think that by starving yourself, not eating, no, that's not going to do anything, because it's going to trick your brain into slowing your metabolism down so much so where you're not burning those calories and your body is using less and less and less to run off of, because it feels like your body is in starvation mode. I tell anybody, and like again, I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a health expert. I don't know these things, but I have, you know, studied these things as far as dieting and eating. You have to have clean eating. No beef. Well, we don't do the pork, but if you eat pork, no pork. No fried food. You want to eat lean meat, so, you know, you want to eat chicken, fish, turkey. And fish, what I mean by fish, you want to eat your salmon, things that are high in the good fats for you, for your blood and things like that. You want to drink plenty of water. And I know a lot of people drink the water infused with different fruits and things like that, and that's good because certain things help metabolize your body better. Another thing I would suggest is take 2 teaspoons of unfiltered raw apple cider vinegar. Drink that in a glass of 8 ounces of water before each meal, because apple cider vinegar helps burn fat. Also, drink or eat grapefruit, because grapefruit, anything acidic, attacks the fat. It helps break down the fat that you eat. So grapefruit, apple cider vinegar. Apple cider vinegar is also good for helping lowering cholesterol. And you want your omegas, like your omega fats, like I said, as far as like your fish oil, things like that, you want to take properly, a supplement like that. There's, you know, so many things that you can do to help your health and your weight. Like I said, I know what I would need to do, and it's a mental thing. And, you know, it's for the person of choice, whatever they like. But like I said, in the past, I have known that, you know, African-American men tend to look for women more on the slender side. They're not privy to plus-size women. And, I mean, that's just something that has been always known. We're not all going to fit that mold. So, you know, to each his own. You know, I have no problems with that whatsoever. You know, that's what you like, that's what you like. You know, can't nobody force you to like someone that you don't. Okay, so enough of that with the BBW issue. We talked about terrorism. Let's see what else I'm going to think about. I want to address this issue where, you know, there has been a couple of murders of young African-American boys, and this is something that, you know, just pains me deeply, that, you you know, like 2 weeks ago, there were three African-American boys under the age of 17 murdered. People of color in this country, we will get up and we will protest the cops beating our children, murdering our men, murdering our women. But we won't get up and protest people of color killing people of color. It's like that just goes by the wayside. It pains me because one of these teenagers that were killed was a classmate of my 15-year-old. They were actually the same year, same age, and they went to the same school. She knew him ever since she was in elementary school. She knew this kid. She said he was a good, you know, cool kid, you know. His family said he had some issues and problems and things like that. But I want to know what could have made someone so angry, took a gun and put it in the head, put the bullet in the head of a 15-year-old. What made that person that angry that they did this? I'm not understanding why our teenage children are so angry. What is it that is inciting this anger in our teenagers that will cause them to commit murder? What is it just in people of color? Why do we not have any significance on life? I don't understand that. I mean, what do you think you're going to do? You're going to kill them and then they reappear tomorrow or they'll reappear next week? Like, I'm not understanding the mentality of these people that take a life. That person's not coming back. That person will never get to see their family members again. All for trivial stuff. I mean, like, I just don't get it. I can't comprehend that me being so mad that I want to take someone's life. Because they said something about me on social networks or they looked at me wrong. They wouldn't turn down their radio, cut me off on the highway. What is it that drives people to this end? There's no do-overs. You don't get a second chance with this. You know, we want to say Black Lives Matter, but Black Lives don't matter to Black Lives. It only matters when someone is killing somebody of color. It doesn't matter if we're killing each other. I mean, I just don't get that. Anybody's out there listening and you have a comment, question, or concern, you can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1 and I'll put you through. Next topic, because I'm going through a couple of things and I'm just, you know, speaking about, you know, things that have happened to me or to people I know through social networks. I had received like a share. Someone tagged me in a picture of a sister who was murdered by her husband in a domestic violence case. Hitting and attacking and killing your wife is not a sunnah. I'm not going to get into that. I mean, I'm not going to get too deep into that because these brothers know what the sunnah is. You don't put your hands on your wife. You don't beat your wife. And sisters, if you're in this type of situation, in a domestic violence type of situation, leave. Get out. Don't stay there. Don't tolerate that. He may say that he's going to come get you. He's going to hurt you. He's going to harm himself, whatever have you. Leave him to himself. You get out with your children. Save your life. If you have children, it's more important for your children to see you and also for yourself. No one should have to go through that mental anguish of thinking day in and day out whether or not my husband is going to beat me today because I left Corn Kernel on the floor. Like, because this is some of these things that piss brothers off that trigger them to go beat their wife. I mean, trivial stuff. You combed your hair and you left a piece of hair in the sink. I mean, you know, these are the things. The kids were crying, so, you know, you beat your wife. Like Astaghfirullah, you know, these are the things that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never do to his wives, never to his children, to no one. He treated everyone with fairness. So for a man, especially a Muslim, to put your hands on a woman, you're a punk. You're a punk. You're a punk, and if anybody knows that this man is doing this to his wife and you're Muslim and you're a man, you need to correct them. You need to address that. Because if that was your mother, your sister, your daughter, you would definitely have a big issue with that. I have no problem speaking on that, and people be like, oh, you know, it's easy for you to say, I'm a victim of domestic violence. I'm a survivor of domestic violence. And I left the situation. I was in that situation where, you know, I'm going to keep it straight with you. You wasn't beating on me, and I wasn't fighting back. So when the cops would come, both of us bloody. Because I'm not going to sit there and let no man beat on me and think I'm just going to sit there and cry. That wasn't me. I would fight back. But that gets tiresome. Like, who wants to keep fighting their spouse? Who wants to keep having the police call? Who wants to have to keep going to court? Who has to keep going because, you know, it came down to a point in time where the cops was like, we're going to lock both of y'all up because we both was bleeding. And if it wasn't, you know, he said, no, don't lock her up because, you know, she got the children. But they mandated for me to go to anger management because this was a consistent thing. Like, they... when they come to my house, they knew it was for domestic violence. But that's no way to live, and that's no way to keep your children in that situation. Even if you are fighting back, it's no way to live. It's not something that's conducive to your environment for growth. You shouldn't have to show love and affection to your spouse by putting your hands on them. And that works both ways because there are sisters out there who abuse their husbands. Yes, the sisters who beat their husbands. And brothers feel like they can't speak out about it because they're less of a man if they're letting their wife or woman beat on them. People will laugh at them. And these sisters know it, and they continue to do it. I've seen it. When I had to go to anger management classes, I've seen it. Where the man do everything right, and the woman just snaps out on him and beats her husband. I'm talking about beating, bloody eyes, bloody head, blood, stabbing him, all kinds of stuff. And this goes on in the Muslim community as well. Because when I was in anger management classes, there was Muslim women in there. And it wasn't for she was being battered. It was because she was doing the battering. So again, I'm not going to take up for, you know, just, you know, the sisters. There's sisters out there who do this. It's not cool for you to put your hands on no one. You're not even, according to the sunnah, you're not even supposed to strike nobody in their face. Nevertheless, put your hands on your wife or your husband. There's a lot of things we need to clear up and revert back to what Hadith and Quran state. Another issue that, you know, came up that I seen on a post that I put up, well, a post that a brother had put up. Brother is in polygyny, and in his home, a sister asked his wife, was she still married to him? While his other wife was there, in his home, sisters, y'all need to read books on haya, which means your modesty and how you're supposed to go about things. Because some of the things that y'all doing is so far out of pocket. Like, y'all seriously need to read up on haya and how to be meek and mild and have that, you know, have a mild temperament. Because this is something that, you know, me and Imam Alfred had spoke about the other day. You know, we were talking about how a lot of people, when they revert to Islam, they bring their niggardly ways into it instead of leaving it. And this is so true. I have seen this. Like, you know, people act so uncouth and just raunchy. Like, you know, Muslims don't conduct themselves in that way. And people just, I don't know, maybe you think it's okay to do. But this is why people, we need to have classes at, not just at the masjid about, you know, learning Tawheed, things like that. We need to have modesty class. We need to have, you know, your adab, how a Muslima conducts herself out in public. Because some of these sisters is uncouth, but you know what? I'm not going to blame it on them solely. I'm going to blame it because they just don't know. A lot of them aren't coming from Muslim homes, so they don't have that, you know, first, second, or third generation where they're able to learn, you know, what it's like to be Muslim. They're reverting themselves, but they're bringing so much of their niggardly ways into the religion. It's sad and it's pathetic. And this is why so much fitna goes on in the community, because people don't want to leave their ghetto, uncouth ways behind when they come into Islam. They're bringing it into Islam, and people aren't checking these people to change it. They're just accepting it. And the cycle continues, and then people start to, you know, think that it's a part of Islam and it's cool to do. Too much backbiting. People minding other people's business where you don't have no business in it. I always was told this. If it's not directly affecting you, for your coins, your bills, your money, why are you concerning yourself with something? Why are you getting so engrossed in somebody else's life if it's not directly affecting your household? Why are you concerned with it? I don't understand that. Me personally, I don't have enough time in the day to sit here and monitor somebody's Facebook to know each and every move that they make, and they can come back verbatim and tell them everything that happened in their life more correctly than you can remember. That's scary. Another thing I want to tell people is be careful of these people that you befriend on social networks, and be careful of the information that you tell them. Because I'm going to tell you this, a lot of people, you think, my aunts and them always used to say that, you think people praying for you, people praying against you. The ayin is real. The ayin is so real that there's a hadith on this, that two-thirds of the people in the grave is there because of the ayin. One-third is because of Allah's will, the qadr of Allah. One-third is in the grave because of Allah's will. Two-thirds is in the grave because of the ayn. So for y'all who think that this is a joke, people don't want to see you have nothing. They don't want to see you doing no better than them. People only want to speak about you when something bad has befallen you. They'll never speak of you when you're doing something positive or doing something good or something actually happened to you. There was a post that somebody had put up where they said that if I say, oh, I got the job, you'll get 1,000 likes. But if you put, I started my own business, maybe 20 people will like it. That's the eye. People don't want to see you with nothing. People want to see you at your lowest so that they can talk about you. But this is the reason why people do this. I'm going to tell you why. And, you know, they say with wisdom comes age. And I'm so thankful that I pay attention. You know, one thing that I thank Allah for all the time is giving me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of things. Because when something happens in my life, Allah makes it clear to me why those things have been manifested, why I'm being shown these things, or why something has been taken away from me and something else has been given. Allah makes that clear to me, and I'm so thankful for that because some people don't know. You know, when the qadr of Allah happens, they don't know why that particular situation happened to them. I know immediately why it happened. And I'm thankful to Allah that he makes his qadr known to me why things happen. And I never question those things. I never question them because I say, thank you, Allah, thank you. I know that hurt me. It took a lot out of me, but thank you for revealing that to me and taking me out that situation so this situation can now be better. Sometimes the qadr of Allah hurts so bad, it will rock you to your core, but it's a reason that these things have happened. And some people don't get to know what that reason is. I always know what that reason is. Always know, and I'm thankful to Allah that the qadr is known to me. We have to start, I think, on a whole. Stop worrying about what everybody else do. Stop worrying about what they got, what they have. You know, you're trying to do this, you're trying to do that. Take it easy on yourself. Somebody always say to me, you know, and this is something regular, it's not often that I don't smile or I'm not happy or I'm not chipper. And people, you know, at my job and things like that, my friends be like, you know, Kwai, what's wrong? Like, you always happy. You're always smiling. Like, you know, you never really have a sad face or something like that. If you're sad, something, you must be sick or something because you're never like that. And that's very true about me. You'll always see me with a smile. Even in the worst of times, when I'm going through the worst, I'll still smile. But see, this is the case here. We have to stop worrying about what's going on in other people's lives because we can't control those situations. We should only worry about the things that we can control, and the things that we can't, we need to give those things to Allah, depending on what the hour to work out. Because he is the best planner. He's the disposer of all affairs. So if you give it to Allah to handle, just leave it. Just leave it. Don't keep peeking back and going to see, you know, keep asking. Allah heard you the first time. Allah knew what you was going to ask for before you even asked about it, before it even became a problem for you. See, this is where people lose it. They don't have faith in Allah. They don't. They don't have taqwa Allah. They don't. They don't have fear of Allah. They don't have the love of Allah. God can solve all their problems. They think that man can or they can themselves, and this is where they are, and this is where the problem occurs. We got to stop that. I am usually happy, like I said, Because the things that I can't control, I give them to a law to discern. The law take care of that for me. I'm not going to let, because you know what? All that kind of resentment and hatred and things like that, it eats away at your soul and it wears you down and it shows. It shows on your face. It shows in your demeanor to things. We got to learn to only worry about what's going on in our household and not somebody else's household. Because at the end of the day, they ain't paying your bills. Like, you know, that's one of my things, too. If you ain't paying my bills, I really don't care what you think. And I'm not a person that sugarcoats anything. I'm going to tell it like it is because nothing worse is comforting me with a lie. Hurt me with the truth, but don't comfort me with a lie. Tell me the truth. I want to hear it from the horse's mouth. Give it to me straight. And I don't care what happens afterwards. Just let me know what's the deal here. You know, these are things that we need to, you know, start taking into account. It's too much that's going on in the world, too much turmoil, too much pain, too much hate going on in the world, and we concern ourselves with all of these things, and we don't even manage or maintain our home. We can tell you about what sister such-and-such doing or brother such-and-such doing. Oh, he sent this. He was at the club, and he showed he was drinking. She then came out of Keymore. Yeah, I seen her talking to the, like, are you serious? But you can't even go to PTA meetings to find out why your child is failing the second semester again. These are things that we should concern ourselves with. But too often we get consumed with this whole social media thing. Social media can be a plus and it can be a minus. You can use it to benefit in knowledge, which, you know, a lot of people may think that I post a lot and things like that. But a lot of time I'm just reading different articles and things like that on social networks and various groups, you know, people putting out knowledge and things like that. That's what attracts me to a lot of things. I'm not worried about what sister such and such is doing with her husband and this and that. Like, that's not my concern. I mean, it is my concern because I would only want the best for them. I wouldn't want to see their, you know, marriage end in a divorce. But I'm not worried about whether or not she said her husband was doing this and her husband was doing that. That's not my business. And I don't concern myself with that. You know, pick a hobby, find something to do. Because if you got time to do all that, you got too much time on your hands. I'll open it up once again. If anybody has a comment, question, or concern, feel free to call in at 805-727-7013. Otherwise, I'm going to get ready to close this call down, but I'm going to go through some announcements. First and foremost, thank you to all the listeners and participants. I really appreciate it, you know. If you have a topic or issue or something like that that you want me to address on the show, let me know. You can call me, 610-836-2120. You can send me an email, qamrma@gmail.com. I'm on all social networks, Facebook, Instagram, PATH, Twitter, Google Talk. You know, just reach out to me if you have something that you want to address or you want to talk about. I could change on the show. Hey, that's something I'm always open to. I don't, you know, I love constructive criticism. You got something that you want to say that you think I should change or I should implement on the show? Absolutely. Let me know. Have no problem with that. Stay tuned. We're trying to, you know, do different things for the show and incorporate, you know, the listeners because that's why the show is being done. We're doing it for the listeners, for the people who follow Religion Means Alive, whether it's, you know, Imam Alpha's page, it's my page. You know, we appreciate everybody's participation and your listening and your advice on different things. We appreciate that 100% because without you, I wouldn't be able to do a show, and Imam Alpha wouldn't be able to do a show. So we do appreciate that. Again, thank you for support, and I appreciate it. So tonight's topic was unformatted. Speak your mind. There was no topic. We talked about a couple of things. We talked about terrorism. We talked about plus size. We talked about health. We talked about domestic violence. We talked about a whole bunch of things tonight, which, you know, I found it was easier to do, you know, talk about these things that, you know, plague our communities and our society and how can we change. But, you know, you got to want to have change in order for change to happen. So, again, I thank everyone for joining the call tonight. Assalamu alaikum and have a good evening.